Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the winter. This is serious business now. Will you pay attention?
You would think that after 100 years, I would know how to do this.
Well, anyway.
I couldn't hear you.
Well, you didn't have the gain turned up on your the little knob there, whatever that thing is.
Anyway, whatever that
that black knob. Anyway,
I love it when you talk dirty.
We're broadcasting this week from the Winter Solstice Celebration Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, speaking of winter.
Yeah, winter solstice. Are you sick of this politically correct bull?
Well, we're reverting to paganism here. Anyway, speaking of winter, I need to ask you if the kids, my kids, can borrow your dart.
For what?
Next weekend. Well, they've heard me describe it as a sled so often. They think, now that it's snowing, you know, they want the opportunity to you know, put it through its paces,
yeah, so to
speak.
Forget it.
No, huh?
No.
No? I understand you got it painted.
The sled goes nowhere without me.
I understand. I've heard, I have not seen.
Yes.
But I've heard a rumor
yeah.
that your dart is no longer that gunmetal gray that it was. It is now sleek and black.
But not beautiful.
But not beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yes.
In fact, I picked it up today.
Did you?
For 5 weeks
now. Is it
now,
sleek?
For 5 weeks, I have been walking into Fred's saying, Fred, is it ready? And he says, tomorrow. I come in tomorrow. He says, the end of the week.
He said, no, not this tomorrow. I didn't mean.
I come in to the end of the week. He says, Monday for sure. For 5 weeks, this has gone on. Today, I went in and I said, Fred, is it ready? And he says, where the hell you been? Hey, actually, what have I got here? I have something. I had something interesting. Oh yeah, here it is. Remember that? Remember we didn't. I have to say we didn't get a lot of great response to the awards thing. What did we ask for? Ideas for awards? Well, we have been nominated. Dear Click and Clack, I may not be representative of your other loyal listener. This is Eric Kimbrough, by the way, from Williamsburg, Virginia. However, the behavior that your program induces in me inspired an idea about an award that would be appropriate for Car Talk.
Really?
I find the reason that I enjoy Car Talk so much is because the program is a celebration of worthlessness. Of course, your discourse occasionally lapses into a discussion about auto mechanics, but these occasions are rare and easy to tune out. Mostly, however, you go to great lengths to impart as much valueless information as an hour will allow. Not only do you relentlessly pursue your utterly useless investigation into the geographical significance of how callers spell their names, but you actually seem proud of this trivial inquiry. Accordingly,
we don't seem proud. One of us in particular.
Accordingly, I suggest that you solicit donations to endow the Car Talk Excellence in Worthlessness Award to recognize and support extreme examples of the pursuit of irrelevance. Oh, we're not actually being suggested for the award, just that we would sponsor it. This award would be particularly suited to your show. Ah, we are. Being an award that champions the cause of worthlessness, you wouldn't even have to go to the effort of ever giving it out. In closing, I would give you the suggestions as to appropriate candidates for this award, but I have to rest now. Eric Kimbrough, Williamsburg, Virginia. It's good. I like it. I think it's good. We can do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you like to take a call?
We'll set up a foundation.
Are you sufficiently prepared now?
I am as prepared as I can be. I've been studying all the TSBs for a week.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Bob in Greensboro.
Greensboro, North Carolina?
North Carolina.
I actually know the state. I'm impressed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say South Carolina. I always screw up those Carolinas.
Well, no, don't say South Carolina. People around here get offended by that.
No. We know Greensboro.
But it's warmer in South Carolina.
Not by much. It's 70-something degrees.
Well, it's 70-something degrees here, too.
Well, that's indoors.
Well, yeah. Why? Where are you?
I don't have the heat on. It's the outdoor temperature.
Oh, what's up, Bob?
I have a Cavalier that's got a deceptively simple problem, sort of.
Don't be fooled.
Okay, the heater doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
You want to guess wrong before or after I tell you what I've done?
Well, I know you've replaced the blower motor, and that didn't fix it.
That didn't fix it. Now,
In what way does it not work?
Fine.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
I don't get much heat at all out of it. Just a little bit.
A trickle?
Yeah.
But when you turn on the heater, the fan does make noise.
Oh, yeah, the fan's working fine.
And it blows cold air.
Vaguely warm.
Vaguely warm, but plenty of air?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Fan's working fine.
Good, 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 good. Keep going.
Okay, here's what I've replaced so far. The thermostat. Good. The upper and lower radiator hoses.
Good start.
Nice.
The radiator.
Bad start.
Radiator?
Well, he needed that anyway.
Needed that anyway.
That's what we tell our customers.
Yeah. Four new tires. Did you get four new tires?
And an alignment?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
An alignment steering rack.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Upper and lower heater hoses.
Oh, so close.
Heater four.
He's getting... Oh,
jeez, Bob.
Yeah, water pump.
Oh, my ace in the hole.
While I had the cover off of the heater core, I checked to make sure that the baffle was moving. Working fine. There is no valve.
No, there's no heater control
valve.
No, you kidding me? They couldn't afford a valve. It's only a Cavalier.
Tell me about it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you sit still and don't move the car, do you then get heat?
No.
Oh, Bob.
Well, no more. I get, like I say, at 50 degrees outside, it'll keep me warm.
Warmish.
No, but I'm trying to ascertain if the problem is when the car is in motion.
Because it doesn't seem to be, no.
No, it doesn't seem to be, because this is our only hope here.
There's nothing else
this
left.
This is it. I mean, you replaced everything else. The tires, the air freshener, the heater core.
There really is nothing else.
The belt, sure. The heater core is easily accessible in this car.
Oh, I know.
And can you take your hand and put it on the heater core? Is it hot?
It is not hot.
Oh, Bob, you're brutal, man.
Wow. If you touch the heater hoses under the hood.
They are cool.
They are cool.
The engine occasionally overheats.
The engine occasionally overheats.
Because the fan only comes on when it feels like it. Yes, I have replaced both of the temperature sensors on the engine.
Have you ever stuck a thermometer in the radiator to see what the temperature is in there?
No, but it's hot to the touch.
Well, look at
the coolant is hot.
This is pretty simple. Yes. You have two hoses that connect to the heater core.
Correct.
If you were to take off the two hoses and run the engine, water should come pouring out of one of them.
Well, I haven't done that.
You got to do that because I think.
Well, I mean, you don't have to do that.
There's a small chance that the heater is airbound.
Okay.
Except he's had everything apart.
Well, that's all the more reason why he's got air trapped in it, I think.
But why would he have had the problem in the first place? I like it. I see it now.
He sprang a leak.
No, what happened is...
He did the thermostat that first time.
Right. And air got in.
In where?
In the system. In other words, in order to get heat, you must purge the air out of the heater. If you have air trapped in the heater, the coolant won't circulate.
Okay, well... Do you know the layout of the engine?
I do.
Okay, the manifold is on the back side of the engine, and the hot water comes out of that, runs into the heater core, runs back into the block.
That's right, and that water should be pouring out of there, and it should be so hot that you can't hold onto that hose.
That's my thing.
I propose that you take that hose off where it connects to the heater core and rev the engine. Even at idle, water should be pouring out of there as fast as your garden hose would supply.
And boiling hot.
Yes.
And if it ain't... There's something wrong. Either that new water pump you put in is not pumping, or there's an obstruction someplace. If there's water flowing and it's ice cold and it's your thermostat, but we know it ain't the thermostat because the radiator gets hot.
Yes.
And it overheats.
And it overheats.
And if it's overheating there, it should be overheating at the other end. I think you have air trapped in it, and here's the remedy.
Okay.
I think you should take those hoses off, and you'll when you do this test, you'll find out that I'm correct. Then you can fill those hoses at that end with a small funnel.
Okay.
And you let the coolant flow in there and start to flow out the other hose, and you maybe push a lot of antifreeze out and maybe some bubbles of air.
You're going to make a mess when you do this.
You're going to make a mess, so do it in a neighbor's driveway.
Well, that's a thought. I don't like him anyway.
Do it right in front of his house.
He doesn't like you now either.
I'll do it in the lawn.
And then what you've got to do is, then without losing that coolant that you've poured in there, you've got to
quickly put the hose back on.
Yeah, with your thumb over the end of the hose and stick the thing back
or
on the heater.
Or fast to the hose clamp.
Yeah.
And that's your only hope. And then the other thing you can do is jack the front of the car up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have ramps. That's no problem.
Or drive it up on the ramps.
Perfect.
Okay.
And run it and bleed it through the remainder of the air out through the radiator. That'll keep him busy for a couple of weeks. See you, Bob.
Thanks much, guys.
Good luck.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, you're going to need it. He'll never get this to work. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Dodie Messer Meeks in Houston, Texas.
Dodie.
Yes. Well, you may call me madam. Dodie can be difficult, huh?
No, Dodie's good.
Dodie, D-O-D-I-E?
That's right. My perfectly marvelous sons and their absolutely cosmic, wonderful, marvelous wives have given me this poetic automobile, which I so much enjoy having. I have a Nissan Stanza.
Mm. A Stanza. I see the poetic connection.
And it is a little poem.
Yes.
And it's great. But there's a controversy going with my sons about the something which ought to be straightforward.
How many sons do you have? How many sons are involved here?
Four.
Four, and they all have wives?
They do.
Four sons and four daughters-in-law. Okay, and what's this controversy?
And I have a daughter, too. Oh, God, don't leave Helen out.
And no. A daughter. Okay, that's
all right.
10 people.
But here's the thing with the sons. Two of my sons, my marvelous sons, have given me this automobile, and the shift, lever, release, knob thing.
Wait a minute. Now, two of the sons gave you the car, and the other two and their wives didn't contribute?
Well, they're doing all sorts of other things.
Like what?
Painting your house.
Okay, we'll come back to this. I want to talk about that.
You're steering me off here.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Okay, so two of your sons, the two nice sons, the good sons.
No, they're all wonderful sons.
Okay, I'm sorry.
One of them's the very best teacher of mathematics in Galveston, Texas, and the other one is the greatest salesman in Houston.
Sure,
in
you talked the other two brothers into buying you a car.
Well, then the policeman and his wife live up the street, and they keep everything in repair. And
will you get on with the damn story, Dodie? Okay.
And the son who disagrees with the manual for the Nissan Stanza is, in fact, a machinist, and he knows all about engines and what makes engines operate properly.
Okay.
But stop digressing.
Okay.
Let's get on to the story,
right.
Will you?
Well, you led me into these digressions.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
All right. Here we have...
The shift lever.
The shift lever knob. And below the knob on this stem is a button which you can push to have the overdrive turned off.
That's correct.
Now, an orange light lights up when it's off.
Right.
And this arouses all sorts of free-floating anxiety in me. When I see any light on the dash, I being an antique, I get all sort of lumpy in the throat. Well, but the machinist's son says to ignore the manual, which would have you drive with the overdrive turned off constantly, except...
On the highway.
When you really need it. And how would I know when you need it? But he says drive with it turned off always, and that will have the light lit up, the warning light. And the manual says to drive with the overdrive perpetually and forever on.
Okay, now which son says to leave it off?
The machinist.
The one who knows all about engines.
Is he one of the sons who contributed to the purchase of this car?
No.
Will you get off of that? And you seem so gentle. And what have you done for your mother recently?
Not a damn thing.
What?
I'm going to assume that your machinist, your wonderful machinist son, knows something
brilliant
that we...
Brilliant and handsome.
Brilliant and handsome. Knows something that we don't know and that the manual doesn't know. And what that is where you drive.
Ah. Slowly and carefully and timorously, since I'm a little old lady. I'm older than the Queen of England.
Good. And around town?
On the feeder roads of the freeway with my heart beating fast. Houston has terrible freeways.
Yeah. So you do drive on the freeways?
Sometimes.
And at what speeds do you drive on
I go to Galveston, I can drive on the freeway because that's not so bad.
And
how
drive fast?
60 miles an hour, right?
At least. The limit's now been increased, I think, to 70.
Oh, we got those guys. Okay, let's not digress again.
Yeah, and if you're in Montana, you can drive any damn speed.
Here's the deal, Dodie. Overdrive. What overdrive means is it's a method of getting increased gas mileage. It shifts into shifts the transmission into a higher gear.
Oh.
And so you will get better gas mileage, and the engine will turn slower, so the engine will last longer.
Yeah.
So that's the reason you get better gas mileage, is for the same speed. When you're in overdrive, the engine turns more slowly than it would in third gear. You basically have four gears in this transmission. You have first, second, third, and overdrive. If you're in third going at 60 miles an hour, the engine is probably turning at 3,500 RPM. If you're in overdrive at 60 miles an hour, it's turning probably at 3,000 RPM.
He's something of a show-off, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
And therefore, because you've dropped 500 RPM off the engine speed while maintaining the same vehicle speed, you are using less gasoline.
Right. And so, theoretically, I mean, really, the truth is that neither the book nor your son is absolutely correct. And you shouldn't leave it in either of those things all the time. Because if you should leave it in one of those places all the time, then they wouldn't have the other one, right?
No, but if you're going to be absent-minded at all, then you should just leave it in overdrive all the time and forget it.
I am.
That would be good advice.
I'm very scatty.
And
if your wonderful, handsome, intelligent, brilliant machinist son wants to argue about it, tell him to feel free to give us a call, and we'll discuss it anytime, day or night.
Better than that, write us a letter.
They all listen to you.
Great.
They really do.
They do.
Doesn't everybody?
Thank you,
Dodie. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, now, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to take a short break. Do you know why?
Yeah, so you can figure out the answer.
That's right. We'll be back in a minute. And even though Terry Gross picks up a waitstaff application at Chili's whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout-out to one of our sponsors, Pajamagram. They make the world-famous Hoodie Footy, which combines the comfort of your favorite hoodie and the coziness of footy pajamas. Now, I'm still waiting for them to come out with a set of asbestos Hoodie Footies so I can wear them at the garage, but they told me not to hold my breath. Make it a Hoodie Footy holiday. When your favorite person is happy from head to toe, life is good. See all styles at pajamagram.com and enjoy free gift packaging. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzle. Well, it seems like it was just yesterday that I don't know how this happens.
Time is very strange. I mean, sometimes, as Leon Redbone,
you know what time
said,
is?
Nature's way of keeping everything from happening at once.
There you go. Anyway, here's the puzzler. It was a dark and stormy night. You remember it yet?
No.
Not at all. So. You're on Isla Nubla off Costa Rica, Jurassic Park stuff, you know.
Oh, I remember.
You're in your Nissan Pathfinder, and you're being pursued by Tyrannosaurus Rex. And your only hope is to get off the island, because otherwise you're going to be passing through the digestive system of said Tyrannosaurus Rex. And you have to make it to the dock, because that's where your little boat is. If you don't make it to the dock...
Yeah, you're going to hop on the boat.
You're done for.
Away you go, because you know that the big Rex can't swim.
Right. At least we don't know that.
We don't know.
We don't know. You're hoping.
Yes, he doesn't have to swim. He walks on the bottom.
The harpies are circling over. Oh, wrong era. The pterodactyls are circling overhead. You're driving along, and you come to a fork in the road, and one road takes you to certain death, because you don't know where that goes.
Back into the jungle.
And the other one takes you to the dock where your little boat awaits. Sitting at the fork are two guys. Now, I failed to mention, on this island, there are either liars or truth tellers. Mm. You know, one road leads to death, the other to the dock, and you can ask one question of either one of the two guys. One of these guys is a liar, and one of them's a truth teller.
But they don't have any insignia on their heads or anything
no,
like that.
No, you have no way of identifying them. And the question very simply is there one question you can ask of either of these guys that'll absolutely, unquestionably, get you on the right road to the dock?
Yeah. I got it.
Okay, you got it? You got the answer?
I got my answer.
Well, here's the question I would ask. I would look at one of the guys and say, if I were to ask the other guy, which road takes me to the dock, what would he say?
Oh, that's
now,
good.
If you ask the truth teller, it's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
The truth teller says the liar is going to tell you to take this road, which
road
is
A. He's going to tell you to take road A.
Road A, which is obviously the wrong road because he's a liar.
He's a liar.
Right? Now you ask the liar the same question, and he has to point to the same road.
Exactly.
Because otherwise he'd be telling the truth.
Exactly. Yeah. See, I like my version of the story.
Oh, don't start! Do we have a winner?
Yeah, we do. We do. Let's see if I can find it here. Our winner this week is Elizabeth Caprini from Naples, New York. And for having your answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Elizabeth is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which he can get a copy of our CD, Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
And Elizabeth, even though you won't be able to get it in time for Christmas this year, we want to remind you that it also makes an excellent Valentine's Day gift, right?
Yeah, for someone you want to break up with. Sends the unmistakable message that I didn't care enough to get you a real present.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show. I should add, it might be a little controversial, so stick around for that. In the meantime, if you have a question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2278-255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Larry from Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Larry.
Larry, Lancaster.
I have a question regarding static electricity, ground straps, lightning, and life insurance.
Okay.
Are they four separate questions? Are they all...
No, it's all rolled into one.
Great.
You had a caller at some time in the past who had a problem with getting a static shock when she got out of her car.
Yes. I remember it.
And I think one of the suggestions was to hold a quarter in your hand to distribute the electricity so you don't get such a snap.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that. I'm not giving my wife any money. So another suggestion was a ground strap.
That's correct.
And I remember as a kid hearing that a car was a safe place to be in a lightning storm because the car wasn't grounded. Now, if you put a strap that grounds it, does that make it an unsafe place to be? Oh. And then that's what leads to the life insurance part of the question.
Well, the obvious lead.
Right, right.
Well, knowing nothing about electricity or lightning.
Or life insurance.
I'm sure we have an answer to all of your questions. And I'm going to just jump in with my stream of consciousness because...
Sure.
Here you go.
Why not?
There has to be a starting point.
Let's start with
so
lightning.
So my brother can say, bo!
Well, let's start with the lightning theory.
The lightning theory, yeah.
Now, why is it... Why have you always been considered safe inside your car?
See, I think that's the flaw. That's exactly where I was going to start.
Well, I think the theory was that because the car has rubber tires, it's not grounded, and therefore you won't get hit.
That's not true.
No, you are going to get hit, but the field, the electricity, will stay on the outside. For example, let's imagine the perfect case where you were in the middle of a sphere, suspended there somehow. You had anti-gravity boots, and you weren't touching the sphere. The walls of the sphere. You got me?
Right.
So you're inside a sphere, and a lightning bolt hits the sphere. The charge will stay on the surface of the sphere and not penetrate the inside. Now, if the sphere should explode because the gas tank explodes, you're a goner. But assuming that doesn't happen, I would think that the inside of the car would be a safe place to sit if you were struck by lightning.
And the tires don't have anything to do with it. I think that's where the confusion is. People thought, or think, as you did, that the reason that it's safe is because the car is sitting on four rubber tires.
Right, and the car can't get hit, but the car can
be
hit.
Where does the electricity go?
Well, in fact, cars that do get hit by lightning often have their tires explode and catch fire.
Sure.
Because the tires are conductive enough to get those.
I mean, don't forget, you got a million volts of electricity. If it can jump to your car, it's going to jump another 6 inches to the ground. So the rubber tires have nothing to do with the theory. Therefore, the ground strap has nothing to do with the theory. Therefore, the life insurance
and you're question not gonna collect,
is irrelevant, Larry. Immaterial, and whatever the other thing was that Perry Mason used to say, which
I
never understood.
I can save the quarter. I can save the life insurance premium, but I've got to find the spherical van.
Now, if you happen to be putting the quarter against the door handle as the lightning strikes, you're a goner.
Then you need the life insurance.
Because now it's going to come around the body of the car, through the door handle, through the quarter, and it's going to fry you good.
Yeah, you're going to be lucky enough not to be tuning the radio or something when the yeah. bolt of lightning
hits.
If
you're sitting there not touching anything, you're pretty safe. I think I've never been struck by lightning. How would I know?
I was never struck by lightning either, but I did have a very exciting experience once driving from Cape Canaveral to Orlando in the middle of an intense thunder and lightning storm.
Really?
Yeah, and when I finally pulled off the road, I mean, I couldn't see either because it was raining, though. Wind was blowing and lightning bolts were coming.
You didn't slow down, though, did you? No.
Went faster. I wanted to get it over with. And I finally pulled into a gas station for obvious reasons. And the attendant said,
it's a good place to be in a lightning storm.
Well, if you're going to get hit, you might as well get it over with fast. You weren't driving in that, were you? And I guess people get hit in their cars all the time, and you can die in your car. So the idea that you're completely safe in your car is fallacious.
See, Larry, I told you. Did we answer all your questions?
You did, and I said I should keep the life insurance.
Larry, it's been a pleasure.
Okay,
and it's
thanks.
A heck of a good question.
Good talking to you.
Hey, same here.
Bye-bye.
Hey, can I read a letter?
Do whatever you want.
All right, here's one from Ed Druitz. Now, we don't know where he's from because he came out of the computer. Dear Tom and Ray, with the arrival of the holiday season, many of us are concerned about overeating and the resulting effect on our health.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There is no need to fret any longer.
Really?
Isn't this good? The fact is, overindulging in food consumption is good for you, and here's why. Number one, reduced stress. By constantly striving to maintain a lean figure and worrying about looking good, people put undue stress on themselves. Relax. Stop feeling guilty. Let's face it, you don't look that good anyway. And a few extra pounds isn't going to matter.
That's right.
I mean, why do people think that by getting skinny, they're going to get less ugly? I mean, you're going to be just as ugly. Right?
Well, you know, when you're skinny, though, you're kind of invisible.
You are.
I mean, you're just a bigger target if you're big and fat
well,
and ugly.
That is true. Yeah. And more noticeable, I guess.
So if you're slim and trim and ugly, you can enter a room and people might not even notice you. You see anything ugly? Didn't even notice.
Well, I think it's good to realize that you don't look that good anyway.
Yeah, I figured that out about 25 years ago.
That's all?
Well, that's your letter for this week, huh?
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, remember, we're always trying to reduce GNP here, so if you've got time to kill at work and you want to send us some interesting stuff, just mail it to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Meh, 02238. Or if the office stamp machine isn't convenient to your cubicle, you can always email us from our website, cartalk.com. If you want to talk to us about a car problem.
Now, what if somebody wanted to call us about a car problem?
The following number will work.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK. Now, if that doesn't work, try this one. 1-888-227-8255.
That one's better.
That one's a lot better. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Rebecca Spencer, and I'm from Portland, Oregon.
No last names,
Hi,
please.
Rebecca S.
See, you should never give your last name because you never know where the conversation's going to go.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I mean, anything could happen.
Right, it might be an ex-boyfriend.
An ex-husband, an ex-boyfriend. You know,
but
someone...
see, Rebecca has not. Her life is an open book.
That's what she thinks.
She has nothing to hide.
We all have our dirty little secrets.
Yeah, we're about to find out some.
And what's no, yours, Rebecca? It's just between you and me.
Oh, man.
So go ahead. Tell us your story.
I drive this 84 BMW, and it's a 325E two-door, and it's black. And I have this noise when I go into reverse. It just started. It goes, it's kind of like a rubbing noise, and it's not super obnoxious. And it's a similar noise that's going in forward now, but it's really, really subtle. And I hear it at, like, lower speeds. I don't know if it's because when I'm on the freeway, you don't hear as many things.
Okay, this is a stick shift.
Yeah.
And when you say, when you put it in reverse, or you go in reverse?
When I'm going.
When you're moving.
Yeah.
Right, so as you put it into reverse, there's no noise.
Yeah, no noise.
It's the ones you let up on the clutch and you start moving.
Yeah.
That you hear.
It's when the clutch is out and I'm actually moving.
And does it speed up as you move faster?
No.
And it goes, woo, woo.
And now it's happening forward and reverse?
Well, it's more of a kind of, woo, woo, not so much of a, like, underwater noise, but kind of
and
a
it's not
noise.
It's not related, the frequency is not related to the speed of the car?
No.
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 I believe that. Now, this can't be the only noise this car has.
Actually, that's pretty much the only noise. Actually, the owner was an ex-boyefriend that I had.
How did we know we were going to get into the area of ex-boyfriends?
Wait, how did you wind up with the car?
We're still friends. He's nice. He's had it since 85, and he's really, really, he's a perfectionist type person.
And how long
and
have
that's
you had
why
it?
You dumped him?
No. No.
They can be annoying.
No, those he's not annoying. He's really nice. And he's probably going to be listening to this thinking, oh, my God, now the car's got problems.
So how long have you had it, Rebecca?
I've had it for probably 2 years.
2 years.
How did you end up with the car? Was there a prenup?
Well, he's a really, really sweet guy. And I had this 64 MG B.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I was going to college and it was really cold in the wintertime. So he had this BMW hanging around. So he just, here, go ahead, take it.
Yeah, just hanging around my foot. He wants an excuse to be able to call you. Right?
True.
He's an excuse to call you.
Well, they are good friends, she said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long has it been since you broke up with Frank?
With who? I broke up with Frank.
Ernie. What should we call that?
Probably about 8 months ago.
8 months?
Oh. Yeah.
I don't think it's over yet.
Yeah. Well, I think...
Oh, no.
You do?
I think he's a special person. He's ready to move on, I think.
Oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Is he a perfectionist?
Yeah.
He ain't ready to move. No.
Can we get back to business here before you start asking her about clean rinse?
How long did you go out with them before you broke up?
Probably about 3, almost 4 years.
Woof.
That's
one long time.
Yeah, I know.
Here's
he's
my recommendation.
Kill me.
You give him the car back. That'll get rid of everything. And you go out and buy yourself a nice new Honda Civic.
Well, actually, I'm looking for a new car right now, but I wanted to take care of this noise, and I'm going to give the car back to him eventually.
Rebecca is not the Honda Civic type.
No.
Absolutely not.
Well, if she had one, she wouldn't attract guys like Frank.
Ernie.
I think it's a harmless noise.
It's harmless?
Yeah, it sounds to me like something, like a heat shield is vibrating.
A heat shield is vibrating.
The fact that it is not, doesn't increase in frequency as you speed up means that it's just something that's shaking somewhere. What's shaking?
It's, a piece of sheet metal that surrounds part of the exhaust system that's vibrating sympathetically. So you get this little, and it'll... I bet you can get it to do it, even if the car isn't moving.
I'll bet you could the same thing.
I've never heard it, though.
Well, because you're not revving it up typically when the car's not moving.
Oh, okay.
It could be other things, too. You could have, for example, a stuck emergency brake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting on the exhaust system. I'll bet you there's a pipe that's barely touching.
You could have a pipe hitting the undercarriage. You could have a heat shield that's rattling. You could have a sticky brake caliper.
Got it.
And the new Honda won't have any of these problems.
Okay.
No, Rebecca has now graduated from school, and she's looking toward a Z3.
I think so.
Really?
I think so, too.
Wow. You're going to have all kinds of guys calling.
You get a Z3, and I'll call you.
But they'll just want to talk to me for my car.
Well, that's how it is. That's how it goes.
Well, good luck, Rebecca.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
And say hi to Ernie for us.
Frank.
Wow.
All right, Tommy, look, we've made it through another half of the show without incident or lawsuit.
Yeah, that bear trap you clamped on my leg is really helping me stay focused.
Good. We'll be back with this week's brand new puzzler in just a minute.
There was a chubby old gent at the wheel of his sled with a beard and a jumpsuit all of red. Smoking a pipe and fairly flying, he passed the kid like he wasn't even trying. Now the kid had raced against many cars, and he wasn't scared of one, looked like it's from Mars. He would take anything, whether chopped or stocked, with his racing cam and his 54 block. Let Model A had what it took. Hit 110 just past Holbrook. The kid pulled alongside, said, "You want to go?" The cat with the beard just said, "Ho, ho, ho."
And even though Carthusian monks send us brochures on the benefits of a lifetime of silence whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. A quick shout-out to thank our sponsor, Emma. These guys offer tools for email marketing, and with Emma, you can create sophisticated, automated email campaigns and deliver targeted messages to your audience. Or like Car Talk, you can simply help your audience lower the gross domestic product and avoid work with valuable time-killing content. The interface is so intuitive, even our Car Talk web blackies can understand it. Isn't that something? Your team can create great-looking emails in a drag-and-drop editor and track the results easily using an interactive click map that shows where people are clicking in your email. Emma's great for marketing teams or agencies who want to upgrade from the more DIY services but aren't interested in taking night school classes at MIT to understand it all. Give them a try at myemma.com. Ha! We're back. You're listening to, just when you thought it was safe, you're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzler.
Okay, I can hardly wait.
Well, I wouldn't get too excited. I have a long list of potential puzzlers I could use here, but I decided to use this one that my son handed to me, my teenage son handed to me recently, that he got from some game that he has, and I can't divulge the game because if I gave you the name,
people would look up the answer.
You'd never look it up there. It's just too many. And I'll have to, I can't read it verbatim because that would be what? Stealing.
Oh,
I could be accused.
And you're
of
above that?
I'm above that.
Oh, you could be accused of that.
So I'll change the wording.
Okay. Yeah. And throw a crusty here in there once in a while.
There you go. I'm going to set the scene.
Okay. Oh, I love these.
Okay. I'm not sure I have all the times and dates and names and places right, but.
Doesn't matter.
It's close enough. Oh, here it is. The time, World War II. The place, England. In a secret laboratory, a small group of scientists is working on a project. They have made a discovery, something that they know will greatly aid in the Allied effort against the Germans.
Wow.
This is big stuff now. Pay attention. This is a huge discovery. Furthermore, they know that their discovery will also benefit mankind for years to come and could easily turn the tide of the war.
Wow.
In with this group is a German scientist that has escaped the clutches of the Nazis, and he's collaborating with this group.
Is he opening up a soup kitchen?
And they are working on a project that was abandoned by a Scottish scientist more than 10 years earlier.
Yeah.
And they have reignited the whole process here, so to speak. And they are on the verge of something big, and they finally, after one disappointment after another, they finally have success. And one of them cries out, "Eureka!" And the other one says, "You don't smell so good yourself." And they know that they have something big here, and they apply to the British government for a grant. Now, the government, of course, is in the midst of waging war on more than one continent. I mean, all kinds of stuff is going on for England. And the grant comes through £50.
No.
These guys say, £50? I mean, everyone knows it. Everyone knows this. And £50 is about half of 100 pounds. And isn't going to go very far, even in World War II England. So they realize the only hope of getting their product, so to speak, involved in the war effort is to leave England and go to America, where they can hope to engage the help of some philanthropic organization or maybe the United States government. You're paying attention. This is intrigue. Whoa.
Man, this is great.
High finance, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
So anyway, they decide to leave England. But leaving England and going to America is dangerous.
Of course.
Because the U-boats are out there.
Yeah, they could take the Titanic.
No. So in order to make their way safely from Europe to America, they decide to go to a neutral country.
Yeah.
Portugal.
Of course.
They go to Lisbon, where they hope to catch a boat to America, which will be safe from the U-boats because it's flying the Portuguese flag and Portugal is neutral.
Do they bump into Humphrey Bogart there?
They do. Yes.
And Ilse?
Ilse.
Ilse.
Ilse Lund.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go to Lisbon. Now, Lisbon, even though Portugal is a neutral country, Lisbon is a hotbed of spies.
Intrigue.
Oh.
Wow.
Saboteurs and the like.
Oh.
And they know that if their discovery gets into the wrong hands, it could have dire, there could be dire consequences.
We almost.
Come on, you're interrupting so much.
Come on, it's only a 3-hour show.
All right, we'll jump right.
No, no, this
You've
is
wasted
great.
Another privilege.
This is great. I'm thrilled.
They know that if their discovery falls into the wrong hands, it will be severe.
Yeah. So they need to hide it.
They need to hide it. And they take their discovery. You ready for this?
Yeah.
And they hide it on their clothing.
What?
They hide their discovery on their clothing, and they make their way to America. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
And what was this discovery that...
Well, I mean, it could easily have been regarded. Something that is on your clothing and is undetectable and not noticeable?
Chicken soup.
It's got to be mustard.
What is this discovery that could easily have changed the whole tide of the war?
Wow. And was able to be hidden on the clothing. On the clothing.
On their clothes. And the hint was chicken soup.
Wow. Ooh, that was a hint?
Well. So to speak.
Wow.
If you think you know the answer to this folkloric, historic, woe and intriguing puzzler, write it on the back of a $20 bill. Give me a 50.
Yeah, this is too good for 20.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238.
Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. But do you know what time it is now?
Time to set another customer's car on fire to heat the garage.
No, it's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we track down a caller from a previous show to see if our answer was affable. Or
affidavitable. So who's our willing victim this week?
It's Joan from Madagascar. Huh?
Uh-huh.
Oh, by way of Lowell, Massachusetts. Does that ring a bell?
Not really, no.
She was about to go to Madagascar on a diplomatic assignment. Why, I don't remember this. And she had bought a geo-tracker, sight unseen, that was waiting there for her arrival.
And they tell me that I need to bring the fluids and the car parts. And maybe tires. But I don't want to. I only have 2 suitcases. So how many fluids and car parts? What do I bring?
That's a good question.
Exactly.
Does it run at least?
They say it does.
Well, what does he mean by parts? I mean...
Well, they just say, as a rule, to bring parts because you can't buy parts.
Well, you don't know what you're going to buy, so you're going to have to send them over as needed.
Well, see, that was why I was calling you. I didn't know whether there was sort of like a first aid kit that nobody should travel without their fan belt or...
You're going to be on what? Little island. How far can you drive?
Actually, it's the 4th biggest island in the world.
You'll be on this huge island. You'll be driving.
Geography was never your strong point, was it?
Me? At least I knew it was an island. So what did we tell her?
Well, we said, forget about folding 4 tires into your suitcase. Instead, we told her to develop a relationship with a geoparts supplier here in the States before she left. And then she could email him whenever she needed something.
Yeah.
And they would slip it into the diplomatic pouch, you know.
All right, let's see how we did. Hey, Joan, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Are you back? Are you still in Madagascar?
I'm back on home leave.
All right, look, before we find home leave, if we're going to need diplomatic immunity ourselves, please confirm for our listeners that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
We have not spoken.
And can you testify here under oath that the answers that you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps have not been influenced by our staff, the staff of National Public Radio, or that case of geo fan belts and KO Pectate that we sent you?
I can testify that I have not been influenced, but I never got that case.
Oh, you didn't? It's in the mail.
Were we right or wrong to tell you to leave the spare parts here, stateside?
You were brilliant.
Boy.
You were right.
Yeah, I mean, since we couldn't tell you what to bring, the answer was bring nothing.
Right.
So we hardly deserve kudos for that.
Well, the people sitting beside me in the plane were happy I didn't have carry-on tires.
Yeah, carry-on tires. So how did it work out, though?
Well, the car worked wonderfully, and the only thing I needed was a new clutch plate. And so I went on to an online supplier, put in my engine number, he knew what size to send me, and blah, 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 voila.
No kidding.
It was perfect.
Great.
Perfect.
Really? What? So now you say, how much longer are you going to be there?
I have completed my 3 years, and I'm on home leave, going to leave for my next assignment.
And oh! Where, pray tell, are you going next?
Pray tell, I am going to Paris, France.
Oh, really?
Voila.
Tough duty. Who do you work for?
I work for you. I work for the people of America.
You do.
Really?
So we're actually funding this little
escapade?
I think we discussed this last time, didn't we?
We discussed my language training, and see, here I'm going. I'm using the same language that I so graciously learned in just a few weeks before I went to Madagascar.
Really? You can't tell us what you do, although you'd have to kill us. Is that
no,
right?
I would not have to kill you. I work in public affairs.
She'd have to kill us. All right, Joan. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you very much for all your advice.
Bye-bye.
Bonne
chance.
Bonne chance is right, kid.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Boy, that was a gimme. I mean, we shouldn't even count that.
No, we shouldn't. But we'll take it.
But if you hear a caller that you think has stumped us, give us an email, and we'll try to call that person back and see how good we did.
Indeed, indeed. And you can probably stump us right now if you can't wait. The number is, how hard can it be? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Have we stumbled through enough stuff to...
Hello, this is Steve from Durham.
Wait a minute, Steve. We're trying to get organized here.
Jeez. I mean, we haven't done anything right for an hour here.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Thank God the show's almost over.
Where are you from, Steve?
I'm from Durham, North Carolina.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Oh, we're great.
We don't know. We're not good, but we're great. What's up?
So I have a 1951 Buick Roadmaster.
Now we're talking.
Which I bought in May as a project to restore and sort of learn about cars on.
It's not a convertible, is it?
No, it's not a convertible.
Oh, man, that was such a beautiful convertible.
So I haven't made a lot of progress on it yet.
Yeah.
And I think it may have to do with the old house I bought to restore, and I'm still working on.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
And the basement full of steamer trunks that I bought to restore. And my 4-year-old and my 2-year-old and my third child on the way. So I'm sort of looking for a sanity check to see if I've bitten off more than I can chew.
I don't think you have.
Hey, any of those things that you've bought that you wanted to restore, if you get tired of them, you can send them to Bugsy Lawler, because he'll take anything.
Well,
as long as we don't tell his wife.
it might be easier just to let him move into my house.
Yeah,
maybe.
He'd do that, too. So what? You got a specific question about the Roadmaster? What does it need?
Well, it runs and drives, and it's been registered, apparently. The big problem with it is it's only got one brake that grabs, so stopping is a real challenge. It leaks 3 different sorts of fluids. It's got a heavy exhaust leak that in the engine compartment that kind of makes you woozy while you drive after a while, and a fair bit of cosmetic problems.
Oh,
this sounds like a real gem.
Well, I didn't pay all that much for it.
No.
Does it burn oil?
It does not burn oil so far as I can see.
Wow.
You didn't tell your wife how much you paid for this, did you?
No.
I didn't think so.
No.
Actually, the trunks I'm doing so I can sell and finance the car.
Well, actually, the stuff you mentioned sounds nice and easy.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that only one brake is grabbing is small business.
Sounds like an early form of anti-lock brakes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you could say that.
Might have been. They're all locked up. They come pre-locked. So that's easy. The exhaust system is easy. The leaks, who knows what those are.
Well, don't forget, you're not going to drive this thing thousands of miles a year. You're going to drive it on Sundays once in a while.
Right.
You have a garage, I presume.
No, I don't have a garage. I have a cover for it, a cloth cover.
Oh, well, we'll have to wait for the warmer weather, because this is a job that you want to put the car up on 4 jack stands, and whenever you feel like it, you go over there and you diddle around with the brakes.
Well, I think I might start with the exhaust. Like, that looks a little easier.
I wouldn't do it in that order.
Really?
Well, because if you put your money into the exhaust system and then you get tired of doing this, you'll have a brand new exhaust system on a car that doesn't run. Right? Because you can't drive it without the brakes.
Oh, I drive it.
So
he's driving it anyway.
Yeah.
he needs the car to go pick up all the steamer trunks. Yeah. How many steamer trunks did you buy?
I have 7 currently.
Really? 7. And there's a big demand for steamer trunks?
Oh, yeah. And a big profit margin on them, too.
Really?
Buy them for $25, restore them, put maybe, you know, $60, $70 into them and sell them for $250, $300, $400.
Well, I have one in my attic that I've had for 100 years with an arched top.
Yeah.
And oak staves.
Yeah, those are very desirable.
Is it worth $25?
Probably. I'll give you
$25. You cheapskate.
And as soon as I can get the Roadmaster up there to pick it up, I'll be fine.
Yeah, well, in which case, you can do the jobs in any order that moves you at the moment.
Right.
As long as you're sure you're not going to run out of money or your wife's not going to kill you first. Well, I will just warn you, however, when in doubt, replace something.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't try to rebuild stuff.
Unlike more modern cars, like of the 60s and up, this car has a single braking system, i.e., if you lose one wheel, you lose all of them.
Right.
So you've got to be extra careful.
Okay. So leaving it out's not a problem. It's not.
No, you can't hurt it.
It's fall apart in my driveway.
No, the damage has been done.
I don't know. You don't know me.
Good luck, Steve. Call us as you progress and send us pictures.
Will do.
See you, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
That was a great car.
Steamer trunks. I love it.
This guy, he sounds worse than Bugsy. I mean, Bugsy's got Coke machines. I hope Ginger didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
She doesn't know about the Coke machine.
No, she doesn't know about it's being restored.
Yeah.
Okay, look,
does she know about the phone booth?
Oh, the English phone booth?
I don't think
probably
she knows
not.
About that
no,
either.
We shouldn't say anything.
We shouldn't mention it, no.
Well, it's happened again. You've hacked off another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our theme music is by David Dog Risman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Belarus, Couscous, Chocolate Mousse, and Childmatoose Let Loose, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our urgent response coordinator is Candace Waite. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is O Tekashawa. Our auto seat tester is Fitz Matush. Our airline seat tester is Wilma Buttfit. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our staff tailor is Yu Jass. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the Gandalf lookalikes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Hey, by the way.
What?
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1451, download other barely tolerable episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though department store Sanders throw their bottles of Boone's Farm at their radios whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.